Hello, good afternoon, good morning, good evening, and welcome. Welcome to Armor. Armor is the name of our new podcast. We are thrilled to kick off this new platform. Really, really, really happy and excited. I am Chantel Thomas, and I'll be hosting this new podcast. Huge, huge thanks to Jerry and Joe for their generous support in helping us bring this vision to life. They have provided content around, you know, on their platform, The Helpful Social Worker. But as I mentioned, we are now transitioning into Armor. Such a beautiful name, isn't it? So who is Arm? ARM is a, well, we're ARM, and that's the anti-racism movement, and it's a shared space for Black women to heal, grow and resist, and particularly senior Black women who work, you know, around, in and around social work. ARM also stands for Action, Resistance and Movement. It is really about how we stand firm, but also move through. Our mission is clear, very clear. It's to disrupt racial and intersectional narratives across social work and make a meaningful difference to the lives of Black people. Because we are those, are the community who are most oppressed. In today's episode, you get a chance to meet the engine, you know, the drivers of the anti-racist movement. So it's myself and my five beautiful colleagues, and we are the powerful women, you know, that drive the anti-racism movement. Each of us will bring a unique perspective and our passion to this collective resistance. And we're all about the collective. We're all about the community. You might be wondering how often you can expect episodes. So what we plan to give you an episode every month, at least once a month, but it could be a bit more frequently depending on what's happening. Also, we want to provide a blog that runs alongside the podcast as well, so really, really, you know, to help keep people engaged. Also hoping to do some visuals as well, so very ambitious and we'll definitely keep you in tune with that. Our goals, as I mentioned, are very ambitious, yet they're essential. We aim to address the current issues that are affecting Black women. We also want to host inspirational guests and also just create that space where we can freely express our thoughts, our feelings and our ideas. Together, we'll navigate the complexities of the world and you know, the world of work and the world that we play and drive in. And we're moving towards a future of empowerment and equity. We're really, really pleased that you've joined us, and we want you to keep you on this journey with us as well. So let's get into this inaugural episode. So the name of the podcast speaks to the values of ARM, the anti-racist movement, which are the four C's, courage, compassion, connection and community. And these values are truly are, you know, at the root of who we are and what we do. And it's really important for us as a group and as an extended family, because that's what I, you know, believe that we are. Our values also will form the basis of today's conversation. So we really want to bring you into our world. And I'm really excited, as I said, for you to meet the core team of ARMers. Yeah, that's who we are. I'm Chantel Thomas, and I'm also here with Dr. Sylvia Smith, who you met as well in the previous season. Sylvia.
Wow, isn't it exciting? I think we're all a bit nervous, but no doubt we'll relax as we continue and we move through. So special thanks to Chantel for that lovely introduction, and also special thanks to Joe and Jerry. For over 8 years, they hosted Helpful Social Worker. And as Chantel says, if you've not listened to any of their shows or any of their podcasts, please feel free to go back and check those out. Some really great information. One of the things we did in the last episode that we did with them, we talked about crossing of bridges, which is a kind of a huge metaphor for what's happening now. Leaving behind what we no longer need and picking up what will serve us in the future. So this podcast, we hope, getting a bit choky here. This podcast hopefully will provide some vision and some mission, and will absolutely tell you everything that we're about. As Chantel said earlier, we've got our other colleagues with us, looking forward to hearing their voices as well. So that's what I want to say at the moment, Chantel. Back to you.
Thank you. And yeah, just to say as well, so thanks for that. You know, our vision, you know, for ARM, and as well as our vision for this podcast, you know, I really do think they, you know, they do interlink, is to be leaders in disrupting, you know, racial narratives, and particularly intersectional, you know, racial and intersectional narratives as Black women, that span the breadth of social work. So whether it's education, practice, policy, wherever social workers are, that's where we want to be as well. And this is to make, you know, meaningful change in people's lives. And in doing so, we wouldn't do that, you know, being fearless, being joyful, unapologetic, forming a collective resistance, nurturing each other, caring deeply about each other, and really, you know, just getting to the root of race and racism. We will create harmony with the stories we tell, and we will honor the wonderful lives lived on our path to self-determination. And I think that's where I want to kind of move into now, you know, as we really unpack this real, empowering episode, and I introduce you to, it's four, including me and Sylv, incredible ladies. Each of us embody the values, as I mentioned, courage, community, compassion, and connection. And we're going to talk to those as well. So what we've planned to do today, you know, is each person will have 5 minutes to speak to one of the values. And each person will answer these three questions, okay? I won't ask the questions, you know, individually. I'll just say them now for each person to speak to. So who are you? What value will you speak to today? And what are your hopes about how this value will show up in the podcast, you know, in the future? You know, think about the next 12 months initially, because that's going to be the kind of introductory phases as well. Okay, so who are you? What values do you speak to today? And what are your hopes for the podcast going forward?
Can I make an observation, Shans?
Of course you can.
It's the first time I've ever seen this group so quiet.
So, I think they're all poising. They're ready, waiting for their 5 minutes.
Yes,
I think, you know, you know, when you let, you know, the horse out of the stable, starting block, that's what they're waiting for. So okay, give them a little time now.
Okay, oh, gosh, okay,
man.
Okay,
honestly,
all right.
You know, right. So I'm gonna come to Namal first. Namal is talking about courage. So Namal.
Hello. And actually, yesterday, someone said to me, my partner said to me, "Have you been talking to your armies?" And I love that.
Armies. That's
my
what we call.
I was like, yes, I have. thanks, Chantel. So, like, who am I? So, I'm a registered social worker. My background is in youth justice predominantly. I specialise in group work when you could specialise back in the day, particularly in forum theatre. I had quite a turbulent adolescence. I was the girl who was missing all the time, and all the things that we fear happens to girls who go missing was happening. So I accessed lots of services during my adolescence. But in my professional career, I've been involved in lots of kind of pilots. It might have been experienced as pilots, startups, and developed and implemented lots of standards like the
beautiful
PCF, you know, professional standards, teaching
the RES. Remember the RES?
The RES, the Workforce Race Equality Standards. And currently, I'm working in research and policy, trying to develop practice guides for in line with the national framework. Beautiful. So that's who I am in a nutshell today.
It's lovely because I've never actually heard Namal speak about her background. So to be honest, although we do a lot of work together, it's amazing, isn't it, when you stop. So thanks for sharing that as well, Namal.
Thank you.
Do you want to speak to your value?
Yeah, so I've been thinking about this and about all the times that I had to, decided or had to be courageous and step out of a kind of a structure that might then perhaps lead me into a more dangerous situation or a better situation. And so it got me to thinking about like the different levels of courage. And there's a kind of courage we need for ourselves and things that we need to do for our own kind of development, you know, applying for a new promotion, running the marathon. I've never run the marathon.
I was going to say.
That's Lisa.
Oh, yes.
Running the marathon.
Wow.
you know, stop abusing substances, leaving abusive relationships, all of these is like individual courage for, you know, perhaps secondary people around us, but, you know, for ourselves, and kind of speaking up for ourselves. So I thought, okay, well, that's one bit, you know, that's one bit, something for my own development. But then I was sort of thought about, you know, the courage that it takes to speak up with and for others, and for a cause, for to challenge the status quo and to do something to kind of influence change. And it got me to thinking, like, what happens when these two combine? And it made me think of groups such as Social Work Without Borders, or, you know, Doctors Without Borders, when they're being courageous for themselves as individuals, like using their knowledge and skills for their own personal development, and then having the courage to kind of
speak up for others,
passion into like dangerous situations to kind of help humanity. And I think that we do that in social work in lots of different ways. So when I was invited to think about what the hopes about how this value might kind of show up in the podcast, I just sort of thought how we might lean into some of that, you know, for people listening who might be on the whole kind of spectrum of their, you know, courageous journey, if you like, and kind of delve into those kind of conversations and all the kind of intersections. And I suppose, lastly, there's a kind of proverb, and I don't quite know where it's from, but, you know, it's got the word lion in it, so the country where there's lions. So it says, like, the lion doesn't turn around when a small dog barks. And I just sort of thought, we often think of courage as like big things, like a big step. What about the little everyday stuff, that small step? What if courage is turning around when the dog barks?
When the dog barks.
The voice first is kind of, and then that grows into something kind of big. So yeah, that's where I'm arriving with courage today.
Beautiful. Thank you, Namal. Thank you. And, you know, I think we all, you know, could use some of that, you know, the courage of that little dog to bark at the lion. Sharon, did you want to come in?
No, I thought that was beautiful.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, I did. I really did like that. Thank you. Thank you, Namal. Next, I am going to call Dr. Arlene Weeks, who's going to speak to her, her value, and her value is connection. Dr. Weeks.
I was psyching myself up to use the word doctor, Arlene, because that's what you'd like to call me, whereas I would start with I'm Arlene, but I'm trying to get into the zone of owning my title.
That's right.
Yeah, you own it. You worked hard enough for
I'm telling you.
Yeah. So you own it.
Most I'll of make you know you own that it. That's a bit of a journey. Yes, and I know you do make me earn it. So who am I? I suppose I'm going to start off by saying the first thing for me is that I'm a mother, regardless of that title. That's me. First and foremost, but I am a doctor, and I am a doctor of social work. I have been a social worker for a very long time, it feels like now. So I think this year.
How many years?
Yeah, I know. I'm going to admit it. It's 34 years that I've been a social worker.
It's amazing.
And I'm going to talk to the fact that I am the one who did it the conventional way. So school, college, university, and then became a social worker. And I have not done anything else in terms of professionally. I have been a manager and a lecturer, etc. But it's always been in the field of social work. And I think that's probably really important in terms of what I also would say to people, that I'm an introvert, because most people think, oh gosh, you an introvert, and that's that. See, Sylvia's moved in there, right, at that point.
But sorry.
When we actually think about what an introvert is somebody when they recharge, and they recharge on their own, not that my job says I'm a social worker and my job says that I'm an academic, so I can do the talking, but I am somebody who likes to recharge on my own, and that's really important to me, and that's a long journey of, you know, I'm a first child of a big gap, so I'm used to doing things on my own and like being on my own. But it's ironic that I'm also going to say that my value is connection. And for me, it talks to that we make connections in different ways. So what's important to me in connection is that respecting that everybody connects in different ways and does things in different ways, and that doesn't mean that they have to be what somebody else wants them to be or thinks they are. If we listen out to everybody, we know what they are. And we had an interesting discussion yesterday when we were talking about food, because we're going away soon, and I know a couple of my colleagues were surprised that I'd sussed them, because I connect at different levels where I'm like, you like this kind of food, you like to eat in this kind of way, because I'm very observant. So I connect with people, but sometimes in the still moments, but I am also very direct. So what people know about me is I'm firm but fair, and you never really have any worries about what I say. Is that what I really mean? Because what you get, what you see is what you get.
What you get.
So in terms of hope and connection and who, what I hope to bring is a real sense of connect at whatever level you need to be. We are here as a group, that if you need a small conversation, one of us will hook up with you. If you need the bigger group, we can talk, we can be what you need us to be. But also that we might not be what you need us to be. And that's important for us to be able to say, we can't meet everybody's needs, but we're going to make a good try at doing that. And particularly in terms of race, because as I said, I've been around a long time when we boycotted Barclays and Del Monte. For me, that connection is, I am getting to the last part of my career and I see people coming in, and I want to be able to say, we tried that, but we will try again if that's what you need. But also that we've tried that, don't waste your energy. And I want to be able to connect with people enough to that they know that. And I am a baseball cap and a jogging suit person, so I can get down where you need me to be. But I'm wanting you to really understand that we are about trying to connect at the level that you need us to connect.
I love that.
With you, so there you go.
Dr. Weeks, I love that. Thank you. Thank you. And you just made me think. You know, you made me think as well when you gave your how many years you've been qualified. How many years have been qualified, Namal? What I'm going to do is totally up at the end and see how much experience we have amongst us. Yeah, I think that was really, really important. Connection. See, powerful, powerful stuff. Thank you, Dr. Weeks. Thank you. Our next lovely lady is Sharon, Sharon Jennings, and Sharon's going to talk about compassion. I want to call Sharon our queen, our matriarch. She is. She is our elder. She walks with grace and poise. And I'm just going to give you your flowers now, Sharon, so you can slap me later, okay? Go ahead.
Can I say that? Thank you, Chantal, because I know whenever you do that, I always say, oh, stop it. Because I think I just find it all very hard to accept. And part of it, I want to thank Arlene for mentioning being an introvert, because I'm an introvert as well. My career and where it's gone, I've learned how to show up as an extrovert. And I think I do have genuine extrovert tendencies. But as you said, the difference is I recharge and I kind of recuperate on my own. And I love having that time on my own as well. So I'm Sharon Jennings, and I'm an introvert. I'm also at the moment I am semi-retired. So I guess the matriarch kind of at the end of my career, but it's still dragging on. I'm a former social worker, former academic in social work.
How many years you been qualified, Sharon?
I think it's about 34.
Really?
It's like 34, maybe a bit, 35, 6, something like that. I was trying to add it up, but I haven't been a social worker the whole time because I think I've probably been a social worker and a social work manager for about a total of maybe 18 years or so, but all probably the same amount of time, maybe a little bit less, as a management training consultant as well. So, and for me, one has influenced the other, and back again. And it was through being a social worker that I discovered a love for training, and particularly for interactive training and group work. I used to do a lot of group work. So I kind of entered training from that. And then I've gone back into social work, then back into training, and then from training into academia. So the other thing, part of my identity, I guess, is I am a writer. And I say that, and again, I want to claim that, even though I don't always write. You know, I'm a creative writer. I've done some nonfiction, you know, some sort of academic work related writing, but I'm not prolific. And so part of me wants to say, well, actually, I'm not really a writer because I'm not really doing it. I'm not really
publishing. Own it.
But I'm putting it out there. I'm putting
own it.
This girl, I'm owning it. I'm a writer too. So I guess that links to my
value,
which is compassion. And I think there's, we talk a lot about compassion and we assume we know what it means. And I think in the when we meet in our ARM group, when we meet, and I know I've missed quite a few of the meetings, but when we meet, compassion shows up.
We don't
talk about it. We just do it. Absolutely do it. And we do it, and it's like a miracle, because when we have our meetings, it's at the end of the day. It used to be on a Friday, last Friday of the month, and people would come in on their knees, and you know, emotionally, physically, you know, we're not at our best, we're not at our strongest, and then we just the compassion just shows up and just flows. And I think that, for me, I guess one of the things moving forward is I would like us to own that.
Yeah.
And maybe to name it and to be explicit about it. Because one of the things I think we're so good at doing it, but do we know what we're doing and what does it entail in us? Because I'm working on a leadership course at the moment, and they talk about compassionate leadership. And I think a lot of people are and when I hear people talk it back, well, we know that compassionate leadership, and they kind of say it's about kindness, and actually it's so much more than kindness than it's so much more than just being kind and nice to people. It's actually about, it's hard work. it does take from us. It's about a deep understanding, and I think it's a deep love for people as well, that we're bringing a loving energy that other people can feel and benefit from. And it's something about that. It's about recognizing, acknowledging it, but also I think we can all do better at being compassionate with ourselves.
Awesome.
So I'd like to see us doing that through the podcast. And I had this fantasy about what the I often think about things in a very kind of small ways rather than big things. And I imagine people, social workers listening to this, particularly Black socialists listening to this during their working day, during their working week, and getting some energy or getting some inspiration or getting some insight, or maybe being encouraged by listening to us to take a half an hour out and rest, close their eyes in the office.
In the office.
turn off the Zoom or whatever it is, you know, and kind of push against those expectations that, you know, you do your podcast is in your own time. You know, this is a living, I'm hoping that we're going to produce a kind of living, real thing that people need, you know, all through the day, you know, whenever, and it's going to help whenever it helps, as well as bring joy. And it could be about a laugh, you know, you know, helping people laugh, or shrug off something, or fly, you know, to kind of open up and just fly. So yeah, I'm hoping that, and we do, and doing that through our love and compassion for each other and
beautiful.
For us. Sharon, can I say something? It's really interesting what you just said, because Shantan and I went away for a weekend, and one of the ladies came up to us and said exactly what you said about what we gave her in the session.
Really?
And she, not in London where most of us are based, and she just was saying to everybody, and it was really interesting. Chantal, I don't remember if you said it. She came to us at the end of this research and she said, it's the voice. I remembered your voice. I was thinking all day.
Who are you?
Where do I know you from? And then she said it was the voice. And then she turned around to a couple of people and she said, though that group helped me with what I was dealing with. Yeah.
She came to us broken.
Yeah. And she just said, they helped me. This group helped me. Yeah. And so that was really interesting. And the other thing that I wanted to say, when you said about your hope for the podcast, I'm the other side of me is I'm a Christian, and usually on the way I listen to something on my way to work, because the battlefield that I'm going into. And so what you just said was also really good, that that people can listen to, and maybe sometimes when they're on their way to work thinking about what they've got to handle, but even on the way back, like, I've had to deal with that, Jay, and let me get that, because we are all jokers, as Sylvia said, that we've been quiet at the moment, but we like a little bit of a laugh. So
they will behave. They've been well behaved today.
Yeah,
they will
be exactly.
I'm absolutely amazed.
Thanks for that reminder.
Thanks for that, Arlene, because I was going to pick up on that as well. Because when you spoke about the feeling that people are left within the group, that's exactly what I was feeling. Just as you was talking about it, Sharon, you know, that warmth, that. You know, that gut-wrenching kind of, I don't know, it's just that feeling. And that's why we call you our matriarch. You know, for those of you that don't know, Sharon taught me social work. You know, Sharon was one of my lecturers when I first began this journey, and to this day, you know, her voice, her tone, we all bring something different, you know, but Sharon's my girl, you know what I mean? And she can pay me later, it's fine.
Oh yeah, I will.
It's okay.
I will.
But yeah, compassion, beautiful one, beautiful.
Thank you.
Right, I'm going to take the next one. I'm going to take community. I think initially I wasn't sure which one to take. You know, we had a conversation yesterday and it just naturally appeared that this seems to be the one for me. So I'm Chantal Thomas. I've been a social worker for 14, 15 years. I don't know if I'm the baby of the group. I think Lisa might be the baby of the group, but I'm not sure if she's taking her head. I definitely got the biggest mouth. But at the same time, I'm doing a lot of things. And, you know, a lot of the work that I've been involved in recently has been around anti-racism. And it's been, you know, around really just trying to help me unpack a lot of my own personal issues, but also try to help the profession, you know, in a way. So the Basel role really gave me that platform. My PhD that I'm doing now is looking at Black women in leadership, and the Yarn Group is just, you know, that anchor that kind of keeps me grounded as well. So when we talk about community, you know, we talk about, and this is in our mission statement, a community of resistance. I'm all about bringing people together. I'm all about us being of one accord, and it doesn't mean us all thinking and doing things the same, but it means us that we're all kind of swimming in the same direction. Because, you know, yes, there is, you know, there is not one Black experience, and we all experience things differently, but if we are going to, you know, slay the dragon, slay the demons, and which is, you know, racism and intersectional oppression, we need to be doing it together. We have to be doing it together, and we have to be doing it for ourselves. That is something that I'm really passionate about, us, you know, standing, whether we're on the demonstration line, you know, whether we're in a room together, whether we're out and about. I just want people to be, the joyful part is definitely important, but I really want us, you know, to do it together, because it can be really isolating. Yes, I know, you know, some of us spoke about being introverted, and believe it or not, I'd also like to recharge on my own. So that definition speaks to me. Lisa, don't hold your head. Okay, I'm not going to say I'm introverted. Because I've learned as well, like people have, lecturing is, you have to, there's a theatrics that goes with it, and you have to perform. But honestly, I live in the deepest part of Kent. You know, when you look out my window, it's green and grass. I love nature. I love being by the sea. I do love peace and quiet. But at the same time, when I come together, you know, when I'm with my community, I can be the life and soul. That's me, and it's natural for me to do that. And I just believe that. It's not me trying. I do believe it's a calling, because it just comes so effortlessly. So building a community, particularly the community of resistance, of like-minded people moving towards a shared goal in the same direction, is what I'm about. And that's why ARM is so important for me. Thank you.
Chantal, before I introduce myself, I just think, when I think of you, absolutely, I think about community.
And
I don't think I've been in a space where people will say, oh, so how are you here? Oh, I know Chantal. Like, you are the link that connects everybody. You're that chain that connects everybody. So yeah, when you say community, that really resonates with me.
Thank you.
It's what you symbolize.
It came up, so yeah, it just, Eileen said, I think you should do community. I said, you know what? As we were speaking, it just came up, because I wasn't sure which one to do. And then I thought about it all last night. And yeah, I'm going to probably do some writing about that, a bit more reflecting on that one. Right. Please. Nice segue onto you, Lisa. Lisa Zaranyika, please introduce yourself and tell us what value you are today.
Thank you, Chantal. Yep. So I am Lisa Zaranyika. My pronouns are she, her. I don't know if I'm the baby of the group, but I would definitely take the crown for the most introverted of the group. I think I'm probably the quietest. And I think that question, who are you, is such a powerful question. And I'm really inspired by Rosemary Stephen Campbell, who said, I am the daughter of Alfred Williams and the daughter of Victoria Williams. I am the mother of Aaliyah Nathaniel and Maya Zaranyika. And I think that grounding of self, who I am, is a gift from the past and a hope to the future. And I think that's what comes first. And I think holding on to that and knowing that is what inspires me, is what drives me, is what motivates me. That belief that I stand on the shoulders of the giants who've come before, and my hope is to gift to those who come after. And that's
amen, what sister.
Right, drives sorry. The work. It's what really drives me. It was what drove me as a social worker. It's what really drives me and puts the fire in my belly for the anti-racism work, because I don't believe that this is going to change in my lifetime or in the lifetime of my children. But I hold that hope and belief that I'm going to be adding to the armor. If I can use our new name.
I was going to say, tell us about our name as well, while you're talking about your value.
I will. I'll come to that. But that will that will be the battle that overcomes as we carry on. And I guess in terms of social work, so I have been a social worker for 14 years. But I've worked within social work for, it'll be 20 years this year, I calculated it. 20 years this year. My whole professional career has been within social work. I currently work within the field of equity, diversity and inclusion, and I'm really passionate about race and anti-racism work, and really passionate about social work education, and hold on to that. I think it fits with that belief about the future generation. I'm really about instilling that fire for social justice that I think sits at the heart of our profession, and 100%. Making sure that all of the people who come through, they hold to that, because without that, I think social work as a profession potentially becomes something far less than it has the potential to be. I am currently working for a charity as Equity, Diversity and Inclusion Director. And gosh, what else about me? I guess in terms of my value, the one that just absolutely leapt out to me was courage, which seems to be slightly counterintuitive to the idea of an introvert. But I think maybe as an introvert going through life, it takes courage. And I think that for me, it is that courage to be unapologetic in my authenticity, to be fearless in occupying spaces that were never intended for me, and to do everything that I can to make those spaces habitable for those people who look like me, for whom it also wasn't intended. But I think, to quote Audre Lorde, the master's tools will never dismantle the master's
right.
is also about being courageous and fearless in beating a new path that will truly create spaces that were intended for me and people who look like me. And that's absolutely what I think this group is about. It's what I think these spaces are about. And in terms of thinking about what my hope for the podcast is, it's that we can hold on to that courage, that we don't have to do everything in the same way that everybody else does. We use this space and this opportunity to, borrow what we can and what we need, but to also create something completely different and to be pioneers. And that takes courage. So that is what my hope is going forward.
Beautiful. This is beautiful. Yes. And just to say, Lisa's our wordsmith.
I was going to say that. Okay. I was coming in saying wordsmith. Say it.
She's our wordsmith. She's when this woman gives you her quotes and it just comes off of it, it's just so effortless. When you start to hear some of her spoken words, and you will hear them throughout these episodes, I'm going to encourage her, because I've been told that I'm a bit forceful with my encouragement. It's what communities do. Communities, people, that's what we do. I really want to encourage Lisa to share a lot of her work, because it's absolutely beautiful, and I know it will touch somebody. And kind of goes back to what Sharon was saying about us people being able to listen to this when they're on their knees somewhere, or when they're fighting a battle, or just hearing that a poem from you would move mountains. Sharon, did you want to come in?
No, I am really blown away with everybody said, and it's what I think somebody said. We've all spoken, but I'm hearing something different
every time.
Everybody, a quality of something or a fact about something. Yeah, it's amazing. We are amazing.
We are amazing, and this is the foundation.
I love what you said. And honoring the people that have gone before.
Yeah.
Love that.
Definitely. Wow. And we can put up our, we've got our mission statement, it's a few lines, and our values and everything. We can put it in our show notes, can't we, Sylv? Sylv does the show notes.
Oh, yes, indeed.
Yes. Just to say that I've totaled up 105 years so far, and we've still got one to go in terms of qualified experience in this group.
Mm.
Yes, that's not to be sniffed at. Yeah. Okay, not to be sniffed at all.
Wow.
Right. Dr. Sylvia Smith, Dr. Auntie Sylv, you are next to speak of value.
Yeah, I'm sort of, amazed.
Beautiful, isn't it? Beautiful.
We have been working together for a little while, but to give people space just to say something about themselves, and it's mind-blowing, really. So thanks to all you women who've shared. Let me now share mine. I qualified in 1985. All right, so next year will be 40 years since I've been a qualified social worker.
Did it have TVs then?
Shush. but I started out in this work when I was 16, when I did my first social care course. That's how I got into social work. And it just feels like yesterday, to be honest. My first social work type of role was when I was a residential social worker, and I became a residential social worker at 19, and worked with adolescents and young mothers and babies in Brent.
I don't think I knew that.
We move through, and then when we're doing something like this and you begin to reflect on all the stuff that you've done, it's mind-blowing. So I qualified in 85, but I'd been doing social work, residential social work, for about 3 years before that. So I was one of those who qualified in my 20s. And once I qualified, I didn't go straight into social work. I went into community work, because that was what was going on at that time. And I absolutely did not want to do social work. I wanted to be a community worker, a community organizer. And I did that for a couple of years. I worked in the voluntary sector, and I worked for a black organization at that time as a youth and community field worker. And a big part of my role was trying to get young people organized, and particularly black youngsters organized and stuff like that. So I did that for a couple of years. And then I had some personal circumstances that, made me think, do I still want to do this? And then I went into field social work. Most of my fieldwork career has been in children and families. I did spend some time in the Caribbean where I did a lot of work around mental health. I'm a mother, I have one son, very proud of him as well. In terms of the career thing, about the early 1990s, I decided I wanted to also get involved in education because people were encouraging me, you know, I think you can do this, you know. So I worked for a college up in East London, Havering College. That was the first place I worked. And I was also a training officer for Barnardo's. And I mean, if we were to go into all of that, we'd be here all year. But basically, that's how I kind of got myself into education. I was still practicing, but I was also involved in education at the same time, practice teaching, lecturing, and so on. But then as I'm sort of approaching the sort of end of my career, I decided, you know what, I think I want to be in education full time. So that's how I came to the Tavistock, where obviously I met Arlene, I met Chantel later on, Sharon, you know, so I met these women in the course of my work there. I want to harp on the compassion one, because although, you know, many of you have said what I was thinking, and I was thinking, wow, it's amazing that we think so similarly. And the reason I harped on the compassion thing was because of that link with leadership. I'm very interested in leadership, and even in terms of my own doctoral studies, it was leadership that I was interested in, you know, the lived experiences of leaders, middle leaders particularly. But I also felt very much that I was, as a leader myself, when I worked in social services, I was not compassionate, because it was very much about getting results and outcomes. And I just think, boy, that would have killed me had I stayed in that mindset. So I've really become very, very switched on to compassionate leadership. But in regards to what we're doing here in ARM, I also want to see us continue to challenge. And somebody talked about, you know, challenging the status quo and doing things in the way that we want to do them, unapologetically, and not feeling that we have to accept judgments from others. Because you can imagine, let's be honest, there's going to be judgments about what we're doing, doing it. So, you know, I think that we are growing in strength, and we will be able to, you know, if you think about the experience we have here, if you think about the entire ARM organization, there are very, very powerful women in that space. So let us not be afraid. The struggle is real, but let us not be afraid and continue to move forward. And that's what I hope we will do with this podcast. Our voices will be heard in our space. And I think it's a brilliant platform for that. Let me do a shameless plug. I also host my own podcast, which is Social Workers Matter. So when you have time, do listen to it.
We can put the link in the show notes,
The link in the show notes. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
I've got a podcast as well.
No, that's beautiful. And I think, you know, what you touched on again, it's gone back to community and the need for us, you know, to, you know, really pull together as a community. I think I will go in a bit of my background just a touch, even though I said I wouldn't at the beginning, just because I just think it nicely moves us, you know, onto, you know, towards the end. And I think someone touching it, I didn't really want to be a social worker. So I'd worked in youth justice. Antisocial behaviour is what I did first. My first degree was criminology. So I used to do ABC contracts and antisocial behaviour orders and stuff like that. And it was a manager there that said to me, oh, you should be a social worker. I was mid to late 20s at the time. I was like, what? Are you crazy? All social workers do is take away people's children. You know, that's not what I wanted to do. That's the only image I had of a social worker. Anyway, you know, I managed to apply through clearing that year. And that year, I attended Goldsmiths in 2006. It was the first year ever they'd taken anybody through clearing. And there's two of us that went through clearing. And I always say, you know, that wasn't me. That was a sign, because it wasn't anything I'd ever planned. Doing that degree was the best thing I've ever done. And I mean that in the sense that I learned so much about myself. And I realize that now, because I'm kind of on that journey again, doing my PhD and doing autoethnography. I'm really, again, plotting my journey and looking at the pinch points and the highlights and, all of the significant moments. And definitely me starting that, you know, applied in August, started in September. And what I learned in that on that program, I remember leaving actually when I qualified and saying to my then lead, well, Claudia Bernard, now professor, I remember saying to her then, because she was, you know, one of my tutors and one of our lecturers there, and I said to her, I don't want to be a social worker anymore. I want to stay here and be a teacher. Anybody that was Claudia, she just gave me one of her looks, one of those serious auntie looks. I said, go, basically, go about your business, go out there and practice, you know, come back in a few years' time if you still want to, you'll be better for it. 10 years later, I came back round and our paths crossed again, you know, and we've written together and, you know, done lots of work there. But so it's like I felt I wanted to be in HE. So yeah, so I practiced for 10 years, started to do, so I was a practice educator, did, you know, the whole spiel in practice. I got to consultant social worker, so consultant stroke kind of team manager level. At the same time, I was kind of doing my side gig, I called it, as you know, lecturing, you know, at Brunel and other various guest lecturing roles. But didn't always felt like I wanted to, but never felt like I didn't have the confidence. That's where the introvert comes in. You know, I didn't have the confidence. But again, it's that representation. Yes, I had a lot of black lecturers, but once I got into the field, I didn't really see any encouragement. I didn't get that. I was seeing a lot of the glass ceiling, the concrete ceiling, you know, a lot of the sides. Oh, it was just a difficult time during practice for me. So I finally left practice full-time in about 2018 and said, right, what am I going to do? And then started my full-time role in higher education. And literally my career just gone from strength to strength from that point. You know, I was a lecturer, then a senior lecturer, then a course lead, and then a head of discipline, you know, so it's literally just spiraled. And I feel really fortunate that I've had such a positive experience. You know, I've met some amazing people. See, most of the people that are on this platform now are people I've met in my later, apart from you, Sharon, in my later, the latter part of my career. You know, I hopefully I'm not too that near to the end. As I said, I'm only young, you know, in my 30s and that. But yeah, I draw strength from, you know,
are you in your 30s?
Listen, that's what I hear.
Your alter ego.
Okay. You know, my alter ego, I've actually got an alter ego. My name's Shaniqua.
Okay.
Did you know that?
I'm so glad we're not filming this.
Really?
I'm so glad.
Can I make a more serious point? Paul, are we supposed to pause?
No, go ahead.
No. What I wanted to say about just listening to your journey, because one of the things I thought about you for a while, because I know we connected up again after Goldsmiths on the PSDP. And one of the things that I really value about, and it goes back to courage, is that I don't know how many years it was, but there was that period where you were, it felt like you were trying to find the place for me. And so you went here, and then, because I think when we were on the PSDP, that wasn't working, then you go
to the transition.
And it's like, it's the opposite of what a lot of us do, is we go in, and then we stay, and then we stay too long, and then it drains us, and then we can't go because we got nothing to take in, you know. And it's that courage of no, this isn't working. No, this isn't that, you know. I don't know how many times we need to do that,
yeah,
but many times. And I think you've embodied that. And I said, I really, that takes, and it does take, because it's kind of goes against all of our, I know as a black woman, all of my cultural training about if you have a job, you keep it forever because there may not be another
one. Even if it kills you, right?
You know what I mean? And yeah. So, you know, it's just, I just want to big you up for that.
And I really appreciate
can
that.
Can I say something, Sharon, dear? Queen. you did a social work thing this minute ago. You did abbreviations. I'm like, what are you talking about? PSP, what was that?
The Practice Supervisors Development Program.
Okay, sorry, because I didn't even know, and I've been around a long time. So
no, it's okay.
No, you know, it's a specific program that Tavistock and others were running there, and it was for kind of practice supervisors to help us think about our career development as well as our role as supervisors, but also what that did as well. It provided you with a kind of one-to-one space with a coach. Yeah, to help you think. And I think that's what I literally absorbed everything from that. And it's funny though, and that's where I say I believe my journey's been a calling, because I wasn't intentional about all of that. I just knew that I weren't staying in nothing that didn't suit me. I don't know. There was nobody around me doing that.
I just knew I couldn't.
Did you see what I mean? And I think that's what I'm picking right now.
Yeah.
For my PhD, because a lot of people have said that to me. That's not the normal. That's not what everybody does. And I can't say it's because of X, Y, Z. And I think it speaks to what someone else was saying about us being able to articulate. What does courage mean? What does that mean? What does it mean to do things differently as well? So
I'm wondering if just hearing you and Sylvia just speak is whether there is an episode in terms of our individual journey. So at some point, because I think there is something that you think you'll do a job for life, because although I've said I've always been a social worker, I've done lots of different things in that, and maybe there is something that we need to talk to, as you said, Lisa, the people to come about what does it look like and what does it need to look like, because it is different things for different people. Because like you, Chantel, I had no intention of being children's services, and I have spent most of my career, like you, I started out in probation. It's not something I wanted to do. And just a little thing to say to you, as I remember, my son's 30 now, but he was about 14, 15, and we was driving in the car, and he was in the back, and he said, "Mum, what would you say if I said I wanted to be a social worker?" And I went, "No!" And then I had to look back, and I thought, oh, it's his journey, and it's my social work thing. But I was like, hell to no, don't do this job. And yet I'm an academic and helping people to do that. But in the back of my mind, I'm like, it's not, like Sylvia said, it's not the job that I came into. And I think, Namal, you talked about creative things, group work. That's what it was back in the day. It's kind of like just doing it. Sylvia, you said about like now the management. I don't even know this profession in some respects. It's not the profession that I came into. And I think maybe a space to talk to people about options and not feeling that it's a job for life if it's not a job for life for them. You know,
you need to get up and run. Get up and run.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely.
Really resonates. And I do have people sort of saying to me, how did you get into the role that you're in? Like, what's the line? Like, because I am in practice, you know, people will say I'm in practice, and the next thing is like team manager and then head off, and then but I don't want to do that. That scares the pants off me. And I was exactly the same. Like, at the point where I thought, okay, the next step for me is operations manager, I mean, with the greatest respect to the people I was working with at the time, I was like, I do not want to turn into that. You know, in a good way.
So I
much like, it's really interesting talking to you, because I was like, that's when I turned to practice education and then joined the Goldsmiths community and then there's some similarities. Just before you come in, Sylvia, can I just say, I think I'm a fully paid member of the Extrovert Club. I just felt like I needed to say that. I am not an introvert.
Yeah, we know, Namal.
Fully paid member, you know. Listen, I love that.
I'm not an introvert either. And I think what's happening as I'm getting older, I'm becoming more introverted and more miserable. Let's put it that way.
I'll agree.
Oh, shush. But I'm a Leo, if that means anything. I'm certainly not an introvert. But you know, one of the things you were saying, Namal, that resonated is this whole thing about how we craft our own careers. And I think what happened with me was I worked in a hospital early in my career, and I saw, and I think I've said this to other people, I saw consultants, medical consultants, teaching as well as, you know, practicing as physicians. And that's what sparked it in me. I said, well, why don't we do that in social work? We have the practice education, which is probably how I started to get into it. But that opened up for me that I could do both.
Yeah.
And I But nobody ever really directed me in that. Nobody told me that. I kind of thought, why don't we do this? And sometimes you do have to craft your own path.
And I think there's something in it, isn't it? Yeah. Talking about our journeys and talking about how how we have taken the different routes, and what the steps were along the way, and that takes a lot of thinking, about, because a lot of us have just done, it just happened. It's just been quite.
You said Chantelle about the, for you there weren't people around to guide, or there's not necessarily people around to guide you how to do it, but I was thinking about, there sometimes is one person.
Yeah, I was gonna say
who gives you some information. There's something,
yeah,
and that
is true.
Is all that was it. That was
you're
it.
Right.
I was thinking about this in terms of my own career. There was always, maybe not always, but there was somebody in the background who told me, gave me some information, or supported me to do some training, or did, and that just opened up something, and it's just remembering those people. Yeah. how a small act, what is potentially a small act, has such a big impact.
Yeah. And it could have been years before, couldn't it? It may not have even been at that time. It could be then later on. You're thinking, I remember in 2000 when X said something.
Yeah.
Or I'm the militant one. For me, it's also the person who says you can't do it.
And
if you say I can't do it, I'm in there. Why are you saying I can't do it? So then that can also be the thing, the catalyst to make you do something differently, because they're saying you can't do it. And particularly we're in a space where black women, so we can't do it because we're black women. Or do you think you should? And that's like, really? I remember once my school teacher, I wanted to be, and my starting point was I wanted to be a teacher actually, and then my careers advisors, which we had that day, said to me, why don't you be a secretary? And I went home to my mum and I was like, mum, this is what she said. And my mum's Bajan, and she said, they could think whatever they want. And that was, for me, it's like, okay, my mum's on my side here.
But then that was just
like, it didn't hold me back, because my mum was saying to me, you can do it, you can be whatever you want, nobody can hold you back. And Lisa, when you talked about on the backs of everybody, my mum came here at 14 trying to be a nurse, a qualified registered nurse, and then she ended up being on the Stoughton role. So do you know what I mean? For me, I had that, my mum saying, they held me back, they ain't helped my children back, so those kind of things, like you said, Sharon, is somebody else who does it for you. And it might be,
That's the intention that you walk with going forward, because it's like, you can't let them down now. You got this far, you walk, I'm gonna run, our kids will fly, it's always like that next stage,
but
it's
at a price though.
Exactly.
We talked about that price, because that kind of message that we have to pay, we have to work 150 times more than them and all that. It's a price.
It's a
message that I don't really want to carry on in that way.
Talk about your black excellence. Yes, that's another potential
theme. Another potential theme that we can look at, which is that whole thing around black excellence, because I am so passionate about us not falling over and keeling over in striving for this black excellence. And a lot of us are dying because of it.
Absolutely.
That's for another show.
Definitely is for another show. Right, are we nearly to time? I don't even know what time we are.
I'm keeping time, so I think
That's fine. I'm gonna wrap up this part, and then we can just move.
Future episodes is what you want to talk about, as well as wrapping up.
I just want to quickly summarize this bit. So, courage in the face of adversity. We have shown remarkable courage speaking about the injustice and stepping up against injustice and advocating for change, even in the face of resistance. Community, building strong communities is at the heart of us as the anti-racist movement. By coming together and supporting one another, we can amplify our voices and create lasting change. Compassion lies at the foundation. It drives us, it helps us to be empathetic and share experiences in the face of everything that we're doing. And connection, finally, it's essential to building those bridges and to mending those divides, but also for us in building the solidarity between us, whichever black community we're from. Remember, there's not one black experience. So we can build a more inclusive society if we continue these dialogues and if we continue the collaboration. So that's what I kind of wanted to say, you know, just around, you know, summing up that conversation. Now we're thinking about the next few episodes. And as I said, the idea is to put out an episode a month, and we really want to build on our values, because they are really, really important. And the idea is to maybe, you know, invite speakers in, or, you know, we could each, you know, touch on something for ourselves. Again, we can agree what that means, because I think today what we've heard is there's so many other things we want to talk about. You know, there's so much more to our stories that we haven't been able to touch on today. But as I said, the idea is that we specifically invite a guest who will speak to one of our four C's and incorporate some relevant information, as well as topical and current affairs. So to really speak to issues that are coming up in the media. I don't know about you guys, but it feels like there's something, you know, really toxic going on right now. There's something with society in the wider space, you know, in the world, you know, not just around racism, around sexism, and, you know, and the other isms, that we need a space to talk about. Of course, we spoke about Diane Abbott, you know, in our last ARM meeting, and kind of the feelings that evoked for us, and you know, just having, you know, this platform to be able to share some of that information in order to help somebody is really, really important. Okay, anybody else want to touch on current episodes?
I think in keeping with that idea of doing it differently, I think we can often get, and it's important to focus on like those toxic elements, not what's not working, but it's thinking about where that draws our focus to and what we tend to. Mm-hmm. And I was really drawn in our last ARM meeting to somebody talking about the importance of looking for the rainbows. Mm-hmm. And I think there is that real importance of let's look for the strength. So even in the face, I was thinking about the recent actress who was playing Juliet and had all of that negative horrible backlash on social media, and looking at absolutely that, like the courage to continue, the compassion from the people who are like her, the community that came around her. So I think we have to be intentional in seeing that in that darkness we bring our own light, and we shining do. That light and amplifying that, I think is an important part of that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Thank you. Absolutely. Absolutely. Silver, did you want to come in?
I think perhaps following on from what Lisa was saying, I also see this space as a place where we can offer ideas and potential solutions if appropriate. But, you know, so often we are kind of drawn down a path of, you know, what's wrong with everything, and I don't really want us to always stay there. I want us to be a place where we can birth ideas, and because we have a lot of ideas.
We do.
So let's bring that into the space as well, because if we don't, we'll just get drawn down. So I think, you know, let's have a place where we can have some fertile ideas, and some of the people that we're going to speak to will have ideas too. Mm. We're going to provide a platform for them to express themselves. So I'm looking forward to that.
Can I add on to what you just said, Sylvia? Because I think also we talked about, Sharon, you mentioned writing, all of us in some shape or form, writing or funding and stuff like that, request. I'm thinking about you, Namel. And I just think there is a sort of place in the world that, in an organisation, in a career that doesn't allow us to voice what we do, that there is a place, as you said, Sylvia, to sort of show off, as it were. Yeah. She says that, the one who probably doesn't tell people that I do things, but, you know, that kind of platform to sort of say, you know, this is a bit of research that would be really helpful. It comes from our group or whatever, because we don't always have that platforms to talk about what we're doing, and therefore we're all in some shape or form involved in academia, that we can then put it on our reading list and people can come and tell us about their research, and we can then, you know, we talk about decolonizing, but, you know, what does that look like? And it kind of looks like us being in this space talking about something that could be useful for the audience out there.
Absolutely.
Can I add to that? and I think it was brought up before about the doctors in the group being their, you know, owning their doctor selves, mm-hmm. owning that title. And I guess the, you know, may, I don't know what topic that might be, but it's something about, cause I'm about to, maybe just a little plug here. I'm about to, I think I'm launching into doing a PhD myself. I'm about to put an application in. Lord have his mercy. But anyway.
well done.
And I will, and part of it is it's kind of like a, this is not about growing my career. This is about a legacy.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I want to start something and others can take it on. But I want the doctors around me. I want you guys to be doctors. I want you to be your doctors because
that's right.
I want to be one of you. You know, I'm about to do what you've done. And I just see it as such a huge achievement that I want you to honor yourselves by, and I know that, you know, it brings a little bit of uncomfortableness, I think. It might do, but I think still do it, you know, still.
I mean, to be honest with you, I think for me, you know, having a doctorate, it means I can be of service to others. And I don't get me wrong, I'm not being creepily selfless, but for me, that is part of my legacy. I definitely see this is not just something I have in my cabinet. I want it to work. You know, and that's what I'm seeing when I supervise other doctorate students. Yeah. I see it working, and you know, it's brilliant. It's brilliant.
And so, I could just say I benefit from that. You know, sorry, Dr. Arlene, I'm coming to you. You know, in terms of when I started at the Tavistock, you know, all white environment. Sylve was my mentor. She was a doctor. I would call her Dr. Auntie Sylve, and she would just roll her eyes at me, and she still does. but she shaped the path for me, and I know she was slaying dragons and demons, behind my back and what have you. And she's allowed me to be the loud, big mouth one that I am, because I know that I was able to check in with her with certain points that she didn't have anybody to check into, you know. When I'm sending her voice notes at 7 o'clock in the morning, I know she will respond, you know. Or when I'm bothering her with something, it's like, what do you want now? I'll be like, still be nice, be kind is always what I say. But it's that beauty. I love that about Sylvan, you know. Even you know, in terms of, you know, her, she's not my supervisor, but I know I can check in, you know, in terms of my research. So definitely agree with that, Sharon. And and I know Arlene is similarly as well, in terms of having the doctors in the group. Well, I'm using you. You think I'm gonna not let you use your title? Are you crazy? No way.
Sharon, I was gonna say, I selfishly did mine for myself because I didn't want to be in this country no more, and I thought, okay, I'm gonna do that. But when I did get it, it still touches me to today how many black women said thank you for doing this for me, and I'm thinking, I didn't do it for you. Chantal, what I'm saying, initially I didn't, but I have known, even sort of some of, particularly my black African students, who will say, like, I used to say, I'm just Arlene, and they would go, nope, that you need to. And I have had to sit in that space, which is very uncomfortable for me. I own that. Yeah. But respect that it isn't.
Yeah.
That's not, they're not trying to make it uncomfortable for me. No. They're recognizing that, and that it is about pathing the way. Mm. And, you know, I think you said that, Lisa, and I am year by year getting into that space. I am beginning to wear that art clothing with a different kind of clothing. But I would also say to, you know, I don't know if other people experience this, but particularly you, Dr. Sylvia Smith, is that I'm in a university where everybody else being a white doctor is recognized. And this week I had to turn back to somebody who's an administrator, but a black administrator. And I'm like, look, do I look like, does my PhD mean that I'm somebody's admin? Because it's not recognized. And so now I'm finding more and more that I do say, hello, I'm doctor. Because even though I've got it, sometimes you mistake that I am not a doctor.
Yes. Yep.
And as uncomfortable as that is for me to say it, I sign my name now with it so that you remember that I am a doctor because you belittle it. And so, yes, I am fitting in that space and I am always willing to help. That's where, for me, connectedness was my value. I'm helping and connecting with people because that's what they need out of me. And they need me to say, that's the doctor person that they know. Because they also get recognition by saying, I know a doctor as well.
Yes. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. And it just as you're all talking and thinking about this podcast and our mission and what we've been saying about, yes, we might kind of lean into the things that are painful and think about how, as Lisa said, you know, there's kind of courage and all the other values around a particular kind of story in the media, like the next thing that happens, but also we're really clear and we're really, I think we all feel strongly about this, we want it to be a joyful space. We want people to feel recharged, full up, you know, feel like they've been fed, you know, and that might, and we do that, and we do that really, I mean, you know, I'm singing, ringing our own bell here a little bit, but I think we do that artfully. I think we lean into that heaviness, but somehow when we come together and we talk about things, there is a some energy, some spirit that it just kind of elevates and people say this to us, don't they? We started this podcast with that, you know, people come in to us, they're heavy, it's hard, they're talking about difficult things, but they're leaving lighter, and we hope that will be the same for this podcast.
Absolutely.
And I think it speaks to that power of being seen, being voiced, being validated. And I think when you spoke, Arlene, it really made me think about it's reciprocal, right? It's when you have tried to fight your way through a world that sees you through a certain lens and projects an identity onto you, coming into a space where you are seen, as you said, Sharon, with compassion, you know, as you said, Chantel, in that community where you're connected with others, it gives you the courage to be who you are. Mm-hmm. It's really like, I think there's a beauty in that. There's a joy in that. There's a refilling that happens within that that we just need to hold and embrace.
Beautiful, honestly. Absolutely beautiful. Yes. Thank you. Thank you all. I think in true arm keeping, I want to have a quick checkout before we wrap up. And I'm going to go around to each and every one of us and ask maybe for a colour. How are we leaving today? Or maybe just a line. It could be a poem, a line, a phrase, something. You know, how are we leaving today? After that conversation, after all we've poured out, you know, how are we leaving? Because, you know, at the end of ARM, we always do a checkout just to make sure people are leaving lighter. And I want us to reflect that. So I'll give you a minute to think about it. And once you're ready, show me your hand and we can go to you just as a way of checking out. Thank you, Lisa.
It's a line that I shared with a colleague recently, and it is, I have every right to occupy this space, and this space is richer for my presence in it.
Oh, look at Lisa. That. Look at that. You see why she's our wordsmith?
I know.
You see, you know, beautiful.
Oh, my gosh.
And you see, it's just so effortless.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
But we're not in competition. Remember, we lift each other up.
it's not about competition. It's about just being touched by somebody 100%. Who's working. So it's just
No. I know.
It's like magic. It's a magical spiritual thing. It really is.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you for that, Lisa. Thank you,
Lisa. I think I would say that my color is purple. It's regal. Mm. It's spiritual, and I think that I always feel that. And some quote that I came across this week by an author, Arundhati Roy, I think is relevant here. So she has a quote where she talks about, she says, another world is not only possible, she is on her way. Oh, on a quiet day, I can hear her breathing.
Look at that. Thank you. Thanks, Namal. You see? This group, man, thank you. who wants to check out?
Can I go next? I can't think of.
Go ahead, soon to be Dr. Sharon Jennings.
You need wonderful, beautiful, spiritual lines. But I'm sitting in my window, and the sun came out during our session, and it was shining on my face. And I think it just represents something, because I didn't come into the space feeling very sunny. And as soon as I got in, even before we started, I just got lifted just by just being in your presence. And so as we were speaking, the sun came out, and I just feel, for me, that's arm.
Thank you.
That you're the sun, we're the sun.
We're the sun, we're the light in that dark room.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'll go next.
I'll go to...
Okay,
Dr. Sylvia and Dr. Arlene.
Yeah, thank you. I was just thinking, I don't have anything kind of poetic to say, but I am really, really looking forward to the sharing that's going to happen in this space. And I think it's going to be brilliant because, we will provide something for people to share ideas, share their experiences, their joys and challenges. And I just think this is a bit of an extension of our group arm.
There you go.
People who can't attend it for one reason or other, they'll get us in some other way. And we're talking potentially globally.
100%. Thank you.
Ooh, so
thank you, Phil.
Nice.
Yeah.
Dr. Arlene.
Hey, so lots of things are buzzing in my head at the moment. And while we were talking earlier, I thought of Whoopi Goldberg and the talk. Yeah. And I just saw all of us lined up here. Don't look like that, Dr. Sylvie. But I was just kind of thinking not about her, but she came to mind as a black woman, and that talk and that program that she talks with other people. And they talk together, and that's what came to mind. So when you talk about the global sense, that came to mind. But in terms of two things then came to mind, which is a poem that I love and I always have it everywhere around with, is people always come into your life for a reason, a season, and a lifetime. When you figure out which one it is, you know exactly what to do. And you remember, Chantal, we were talking last weekend about that we are all so different, and we've never had a disagreement or anything like that. It just works. And so to me, that's what comes to mind. But I ain't gonna leave without a Bible verse here, right? So you're gonna have to work with me on this one.
I was expecting it, I'm not gonna lie. I bet she's just googling which verse she's gonna use. Go ahead.
And I think what it comes to, it's about friendship, I want to say, and it goes to my connected, and it said, Jonathan said to David, go in peace, for we have sworn friendship with each other in the name of the Lord. And he says, the Lord be witnesses between you and me, and between your descendant and my descendants forever. And that's how I feel about here, right? We have come together. We are so different, as you keep saying, Chantel, but we are so united in this passion. And it does feel like a friendship that's developing into something that's, like how the young people say, bona fide. It just feels
Look at
that
you with your baseball cap.
I'm a baseball cap. It just feels like, and just in this space, how we're talking, it just, I could get emotional, but it just feels like what a deep connection. And if we can keep doing this and connect and, develop a friendship, that's just gonna be something awesome in this space.
I have such a good feeling about this. So as we wrap up today's episode, I just want to thank you, incredible women, all of you, each and every one of you, for everything that you're doing, everything you continue to do, everything you've done, the dedication that you show in not only just trying to create the space we have in ARM, but the wider space, the work we're doing outside of ARM and in our professional and personal lives. Remember that change begins with each of us, by embodying the values of courage, community, compassion, and connection, we can all build a part, or all play a part, in building a brighter future. So until next time, let's keep raising our voices and let's keep standing in the gap. Yeah, standing in that gap. This is our arm, our armor. Love and light. Peace.